Let's turn our attention back to the National Football League. I put the poll out there for you on Twitter, and I do want an answer from our next guest. He is a former NFL quarterback. Sage Rosenfels joins us this morning on the Scott Rintel Show. Sage, thank you very much for doing this. First and foremost, are you safe and healthy wherever you're at?
I am, and all my family members are. I did have a cousin who is a doctor, and he did have the coronavirus, and he made it through fine. But said it was a tough few days in his basement as he worked his way through it. So it's I'm very lucky, you know, that the fact that I don't live in the middle of a big city, that I sort of live in the suburbs right now, which can be slower, but in times like these, it makes you feel pretty good that you can, you know, take walks outside and keep your separation from people and have a yard and slow down a little bit. So it's been an eye opener, I think, for everybody. It's been a little bit of a therapy session, probably for the entire planet. And I'm doing my best to do my part to not contract it, to not spread it to anybody else. I've got a girlfriend who's a nurse. And she's been talking about this since early February with me, so I take this thing very, very seriously.
Well said, and I agree with every point you made. Is there anything in particular, Sage, that you've come to appreciate more as a result of the circumstances we find ourselves in?
Well, you know, I think everyone's appreciating all the things that we normally get to do, in particular, you know, going to games or going to concerts or being in big groups of people. That almost seems like a foreign thing now, but that was, you know, what we did, you know, so regularly before. So I think that I've always had a pretty good perspective of trying to value my time with my kids and value my time with my family and friends. But I think for everybody, this is totally sort of taking a step back from our regular lives and looking at it and going, okay, when we do come out of this thing, how do I want to be going forward? Who do I want to be going forward? What's important to me? I think that's probably the most valuable thing that I've taken out of it is it really does put into place everything that is most valuable to you. But I am hoping that we can get back to going to sporting events, going to concerts, being in those big groups, because I do love that energy. I'm an extrovert. And, you know, of course, we're all living sort of an introvert life right now. And one of my favorite things to do actually is to go on the radio, do my radio show in Minneapolis from my bedroom. But I love being able to sort of speak to other people that I don't get to see right now and sort of speak to the people who are listening at home. It feels like I am sort of in a big group, and so I do appreciate those moments as well.
Well, that certainly resonates with me, and I understand that feeling of normalcy, and we appreciate you sharing some of your time with us here this morning. Sage Rosenfels, former NFL quarterback, joining us here on the Scott Rintoul Show. The cardinal rule right now in the NFL when it comes to business is don't pay running backs. Don't give them big money. What did you think of the deal that Christian McCaffrey was given yesterday?
I think it was when it was earned, and I think that it was the right deal to give. And you know, every running back is a little bit different. Well, this Carolina Panthers team, like the entire offense pretty much runs through Christian McCaffrey. I mean, he really is that offensive football team, and he's not just your sort of classic tailback where you hand him the ball and you know, 25 times a game. He does that, plus he's all the things out of the backfield. He's like a scat back and your classic eye tailback. He really does everything. He's extremely valuable to that football team. I think he has earned it, and I understand the whole thing of not paying – you know, running backs, you know, it didn't help with, you know, Todd Gurley with the Rams. Obviously, Zeke Elliott got paid last year. They didn't make the playoffs. Le'Veon Bell got paid last year. They weren't any good with the Jets. So it doesn't have a great recent history. But I do think in this scenario, I think McCaffrey's a unique back. I think the fact that he is smaller, you do see the smaller back sometimes play for a long time. You know, guys like Darren Sproles. I mean, he's that type of guy, and those guys can play for 10, 11, or even 12 years. And so I do think this move in particular was the right move. I didn't think it was the right move with Gurley. I think in that zone scheme, you can have a lot of backs run for over 1,000 yards or 1,200 yards. We've seen that now for two or so decades going back to the Denver Bronco days. And he was one of those backs, I think, benefited from the right scheme. But Christian McCaffrey, I think he earned this contract. I mean, Carolina Panthers, they also probably from a just a total business perspective, he is the superstar in this football team. They are starting over. They're starting over at quarterback, and, you know, Cam Newton is out of there. So they need to have a premier player that, you know, hopefully someday puts people in the seats. And I think this move for Carolina was the right one.
I've been asking our listenership this morning, and I will pose this question to you as well. As a former NFL quarterback, if you had your choice of one individual talent offensively, would you choose a number one wide receiver, a number one tight end, or a dual threat running back? If those were your three options, what would be your first choice?
Ooh, that's a good question. Probably a number one wide receiver. You know, I think that running backs, what you said, they have been devalued. But I think, you know, in my history in the league, the scheme and the offensive line and the offensive line coach, that had probably as much, if not more, to do with our rushing success as just having a great running back. And so that's why the value is less. But having a wide receiver, if you don't have one premier wide receiver, much less two really good ones, it just changes the way the things that defenses can do. They're no longer scared of the deep ball. They're no longer scared of taking shots down the field. They don't have somebody to focus on, which means they can get close to the line of scrimmage and they can shut down other aspects of your football team. So it is really, really important to have one really good, if not great, great wide receiver on your football team. You just don't see a lot of teams win Super Bowls without having one premier threat on the outside.
My question would be about the tight end coming off of your answer there. Given the scarcity of dominant tight ends, why would that not be your preference over perhaps the receiver?
Well, they usually aren't game changers. You know, the tight end, and I'm a huge advocate of the tight end. You know, Owen Daniels was the guy that I played with that I thought was a really, really good player, and it was so important to have him on the football team. But they're usually not guys that really, really scare a defense. And you have to game plan some for them. You know, a guy like Gronk, for example. But there are very few of those guys. But most NFL teams have to have at least one wide receiver that is an absolute threat. It helps to have a good tight end or a great tight end. But I just sort of think the guy on the outside is more of a game changer and can, you know, when you're on your own 10-yard line, the tight end doesn't scare defense. But when you're on your own 10-yard line, I promise you the defensive coordinator is looking out and going, where's that all-pro wide receiver on the other side of the field? I think they can be a real game changer in the NFL.
In conversation with former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels this morning right here on the Scott Rentoul Show, Christian McCaffrey has these three record-breaking years, and Lamar Jackson is the reigning MVP. And part of what makes those players unique is Christian McCaffrey's a white running back. Lamar Jackson's a black quarterback. And both of those players said, look, I just want to be known as a running back. I just want to be known as a quarterback. One of the things I like about you, Sage, is you're a macro thinker as well, and you see the bigger picture. What type of impact, as far as stereotypes go throughout football, do you think those players and others in their mold are having in our current environment?
I think it's huge, in particular the Lamar Jackson scenario. I think it's big because, you know, to be a successful NFL quarterback, you don't have to be just a great thrower. You don't have to be 6'4", 230 pounds. I think there's just been a long history of probably overvaluing, you know, certain things about the position. What's important for me is, do you have a really unique skill set that is really hard for defenses? And, you know, for guys like Drew Brees, it's accuracy and decision-making. And that is normally how when I look at, like, these college quarterbacks are coming out. Were they accurate? Did they make good decisions? Because that's sort of the most important thing. You have to be a good thrower. But Lamar Jackson brings such a unique skill set to the equation. And so does Christian McCaffrey. He's very unique in what he does and what he can do. To me, that's more important than, obviously, the color of their skin or what the history says about, you know, who plays that position. Do you do something that's different than everybody else that makes defense, that makes it you know, really, really hard for the other side of the coin to defend you or whatever it might be? What do you bring to the table? It's not about your size, and that, you know, this is why, like, I love Russell Wilson as well. You don't have to be 6'3", 6'4". He's only 5'10", but he is a good decision maker. He is an accurate quarterback. He doesn't get hurt. Lamar Jackson has become a better and better throw, and I think that's something that you can improve on over time, and he needs to. But his unique skill set, he is such a fantastic runner that is just, it adds a whole other element to defenses. But at the end of the day, he's going to have to be a better the thrower and a more accurate thrower as time goes on, because he's just not going to be able to run around like he does now for the next 10 years. And to be a great quarterback, to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, I think everyone looks back on Cam Newton when he was younger. People had him already shoot in for the Hall of Fame, but he didn't progress as a great thrower, as an accurate a quarterback, as someone who makes quick decisions, as somebody who makes the right decision time and time again, because at some point he couldn't use his legs anymore, and that unique skill set went away. So for Lamar Jackson, he needs to keep adding to his game, because at some point running around and making those plays that he made last year, he'll be able to do it for another, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, I think. But at some point, you can't do that forever. And when you're going to be a great quarterback, a Hall of Fame type of quarterback, you have to have that, those unique things for, you know, well over 10, over a dozen years in the NFL.
That's an excellent segue into Cam Newton, who still finds himself without work. Which situation that he could potentially land in is most intriguing to you when it comes to Cam Newton?
Well, I think what teams are doing, and you know, there's a list floating around out in the interwebs of the exact teams that need quarterbacks still or need competition at that position. Obviously, the San Diego Chargers to me. The LA Chargers with Tyrod Taylor, I think they're not content at that spot yet. Obviously, there's teams like the Dolphins who are going to be looking for quarterbacks. I think there's going to be the draft. And then after this draft occurs, the teams that don't get one of these first-round or second-round quarterbacks for competition or for a quarterback of the future, then that's we'll have a better idea where Cam Newton goes. But I do like the L.A. Chargers as a destination for him, because they need competition at that position. They also are going to be opening up this brand-new, you know, $2-whatever-billion stadium in L.A. and be a part. Well, you know, obviously sharing the stadium with the Rams, but they need to have some sort of splash. So if they don't go out and get a guy like, say, Justin Herbert from Oregon in the draft, they need to get a splash. And Cam Newton will put a lot of people in the seats, because he was an MVP and he was fairly recently in a Super Bowl.
While we're on the subject of quarterbacks being drafted, Joe Burrow is going to go number one. I think we all know that. He's the safest pick in this draft. Who are you most curious about when it comes to the quarterback prospects who are likely or at least potentially going in the first round?
Well, you know, I've watched enough film on Tua from Alabama, and man, he is an extremely accurate quarterback on those short and intermediate, you know, passing game. He does not have a big arm. You know, Trent Dilfer came out the other day and said he had the arm of Dan Marino. I really like Trent Dilfer. I consider him a friend. I have no idea what he's talking about. I know he has been working with him, and I know it's, you know, it's part of his job to sell a player, but he's not Dan Marino. Dan Marino's got one of the greatest throwers in the history of the game. But man, when you watch Tua play, his ability to anticipate, his ability to throw the ball into really tight windows, and his quickness and moving around the pocket. I love his pocket presence. I think that he has a chance to be a very good quarterback because, again, the accuracy of decision-making. You know, people are big on Justin Herbert. My concern with Justin Herbert and Jordan Love, two prospects that have all this, there's a lot of hype around them because they have these sort of abilities that you see flash on film. And Herbert, you know, 6'6", he's a really good athlete. He sort of like looks the part. But my big concern with both of them, in particular Herbert from Oregon, is their lack of accuracy when they throw the ball down the field. I saw an unbelievable stat the other day that 1 out of 5 throws to an open receiver, Herbert was completely inaccurate on, didn't even give his guy a chance. And that is a huge problem because, again, going back, accuracy and decision-making is important. If you're not an accurate quarterback, you just generally aren't going to be a good NFL quarterback. And so he does not have that, you know, he can run, but he's not Lamar Jackson by any means. And so he's the guy that I think that will be one of those guys picked in the first round that ends up having, you know, maybe sort of a Brady Quinn type career where who just doesn't live up to the first round hype. But then again, you know, it's a crapshoot. It's 50-50. I could easily be wrong, and if I am, I'll be happy to eat my words in a few years. But we won't know for a little while. But I do see Herbert as a guy that the more film I watch, the more I go, you know, I don't see him being a great NFL quarterback because of his lack of accuracy.
Well, and it's interesting because as you brought up with Lamar Jackson earlier, we saw his accuracy improve in college, and we've seen it improve dramatically over his first couple of seasons in the NFL. If there is one trait, if you were a GM of a team that you would draft in a quarterback, is it accuracy? Is it decision-making? What is that one trait you would look for?
I mean, those two go together. You know, they really do. You know, the processing of information now, that's really important too. You know, people don't, you know, everyone comes from different backgrounds of schooling and things like that. But there's also just each one of our brains just simply processes information differently. And I have learned about that about myself over the years, about my kids over the years, my other teammates and quarterbacks, and look back and why did this guy struggle? Some people struggle with concepts. Some people struggle taking things from paper and then going into sort of real life and when they actually occur for your mind to make those split second decisions. But, you know, decision making is so important in the league. One bad decision can completely ruin a game. You know, it's a game of turnovers. And when the quarterback touches the ball 65, 70 times a game, decision making is so, so important. And we've seen, you know, quarterbacks that are very average, but make good decisions, win Super Bowls. We have actually seen that. It doesn't happen very often, but we have seen that. But, you know, decision-making, man, is so, so important in the NFL. And in college football, you can turn the ball over once or twice a game and still win it. It's sort of a different sport in that aspect. But in the NFL, it's really, really tough to be sloppy with the football and make bad decisions and still win football games because the defenses are so good. They're so smart. They're so athletic. If you make one little mistake, they will jump all over it, and that's how you lose games in the NFL.
We appreciate you making the decision to join us today. Made our show better, and we really appreciate the conversation. Sage, stay safe, stay healthy, and thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And by the way, my family had a family vacation all set up to get up to Vancouver later on this summer. I'm not sure if it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. Real bummer. It's one of my favorite cities in the whole world, and hopefully we'll be able to come back sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. Let us know when you're coming up. We'd love to see you in our neck of the woods. Thank you.
Will do. Thanks for having me on.